Amen. It is better farther on. Praise the Lord for that. And I remember reading in the scripture where Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, or he went to one of the gardens and went to pray. And the Bible says he went a little farther. He always goes farther than we can go. He always does more than we can do. And he's always there to help us in troublesome times and difficult days that lie ahead, and they may be even upon us now. And I'm glad he's there, and farther on it will be better. One day we'll be in his very presence. If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 19. We are right here upon the season of Easter. I think next Sunday is Easter Sunday. That's what makes the world, they call this Sunday today, Palm Sunday, where the Lord went into the city of Jerusalem, and they laid down their palm leaves, and they cried, Hosanna to the highest. And they were giving recognition to the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Glory. And it wasn't but just a few days that same crowd was crying, Crucify Him. And this morning we're going to deal with the subject partly of the crucifixion and some things that went on around that, and the evidence of what took place or what happened at least to one individual as these things were happening. In John chapter 19, verse number 14, the scripture says, And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, and away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he was bearing his cross, went forth into the place that is called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him, they two others with him on either side, or on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts to them, and to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. And then said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. Then the scripture might be fulfilled, that said, They parted my raiment, saying among them, And for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon the hyssop and put it upon his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day, I besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, that he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these were done that the scripture should be fulfilled: a bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now turn with me, if you would, back to the book of Mark, chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. We'll just read one verse here, verse number 39. Mark chapter 15, verse 39. Now remember all the things that we've just read. Now we read this verse. It says, "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." Truly, this man was the Son of God. Primarily this morning, I want us to be dealing and thinking about this man that stood beside the cross. Here in Mark chapter number 15, it tells us that he was there and he was beholding and he was watching and he was looking. And he come to the conclusion that this man was the Son of God. Here's a centurion, a Roman soldier that had the position that he had to make sure everything was happening just as it should, that all things were done right and lawfully. And here in verse number 39, it says, he stood over against him. That meant that he just simply had guard of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood right next to, and he stood there by the cross of the Lord, and he was hearing all these things that were being said. He was listening to the conversations. He was listening to all the details that were given, and he came to the conclusion that this man was the Son of God. On this crucifixion day, I'm sure there was a large crowd that would gather, and they were wanting to see the events that was going to unfold. They had turned their backs upon the Lord. They had cried, "Crucify Him." They had said, "Give us Barabbas," and all the things that transpired. And this was the judgment day for those two thieves that the Bible calls were malefactors, or they were guilty of certain things. And here they are going under the judgment of the Roman government. But there's another man that is affected probably by the lives of these people. And this man is the centurion. And I'm sure he would hear the crowds make their statements. And the crowd, as they gathered together, they were waiting for the sound of the hammer to hit the nails that would pierce the hands and the feet of our Lord. And by the way, it is a gruesome picture when you really begin to think about what crucifixion is all about. And he hears the things that are being said, and he's not one of those that's wagging their heads and in disgust. And he sees the disbelief, and he sees even the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ maybe in despair. The words are said, "He saved others, let him save himself." The words are spoken, "If thou be Christ, come down from the cross and save us and thyself." He maybe had heard the crowds call just a few days before, even maybe a few hours before, "Give us Barabbas, but crucify him." He had listened to all the voices, and he'd seen those that are, as we read in John chapter 19, those men that gathered together there close to the cross, and they gathered to gamble for the clothes of the Lord Jesus. They were going to cut them into four parts, and they were going to divide them among themselves. But one man said, "Oh, let's not rend them. Let's not tear them. Let's keep them together, and we'll just gamble. We'll cast lots." And you'll notice, as we read time and time again in John chapter 19, the words are said that the scriptures might be fulfilled. the Lord God of heaven is very careful that the Scriptures will be fulfilled just exactly as it says in His Word. And there are things in the Old Testament tells about the gambling and casting lots that tells that they'll not tear his clothes. It tells, as we read about, they came to break the legs and Jesus was already dead, and that was to fulfill the Scripture that not one bone would be broken in our Lord. And so these things that are taking place, I'm sure the priest of that hour and that day maybe had joy and laughter in their thoughts and their hearts and maybe in their expressions, and they were probably thinking, well, we've silenced our enemy. He's going to die. This day is his last day. But there's other words spoken too. There were other things that were said also. And we find that this man right here, his life is immediately changed as he watches the things that are done and as he hears the things that are said. I entitled the message this morning, "What He Heard Made a Difference." What this centurion heard certainly made a difference, not only in his life that moment, but I believe in the life after that, and I'm sure in the life of eternity. What he heard certainly did make a difference. We'll be looking at some of those things that were said there as the day progresses. We'll see some of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as He hung there. We'll look at those in just a moment. And this man, this centurion, probably was a man of importance. He was given the ability, the authority to watch this man die. He was a man probably of influence, but before the day was over, he was a man that was interested in what had taken place. He was interested in what was happening before his eyes, and he was interested in what his ears were hearing and what the transactions were taking place. He wasn't one of them that was gambling for the clothes, and he wasn't that one that came and pierced the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that one that stood beside. He was the one that saw, and he's the one that heard, and thank God he's the one that gave recognition and gave testimony. Surely or truly, this man is the Son of God. This soldier, this centurion, we read about him here in Mark chapter 15, verse 39. He had that position as he stood over against him, over against the cross. He stood there at the foot of the cross. He stood there watching guard. He wasn't the jeering and he wasn't the one wagging his head. He wasn't the one ridiculing the Lord. He wasn't the gambler. He wasn't the one that was taking place, all these things. And I'm sure he was maybe aware and he was maybe accustomed to some of the words and some of the things that were being said as someone dies on the cross. For that was their way of execution. Jesus was not the first to die that way, nor was he the last. And so they became very familiar with the cries of the individual that were dying there upon the cross. He kept his eyes up on this man in the middle, and he listened and he heard all these words, and his persuasion was that what he saw, what was taking place that day, he saw the events and he realized that Jesus surely was different than all others that had ever died. And I'm glad to declare to you this morning, Jesus is different. He was different. He forever shall be different than any person that's ever lived or has ever died upon this earth. In Luke chapter number 23, we have another account given concerning this. In Luke chapter 23, in verse number 44, it says, "It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, and He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit, and having thus said thus, He gave up the ghost." Now when the centurion, and this centurion here is the same one we read about in Mark. "And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man." And so here we find his persuasion. He stood against the cross. His purpose there was to make sure the days, the events of the day took place as was supposed to. he observed all that was to take place, and everything was going to happen just like law said, because he was the guard. So he is listening and he hears all these things, and he makes a profession: truly, this man is the Son of God. Truly, this is a righteous man. And so I want us to think this morning concerning what he heard, how it made a difference in his life. I'll tell you what I've heard has made a difference in my life. What I've heard as a child and as a young adult and as an adult and now getting on up in years, I'm glad that what I've heard has made a difference in my life. It's changed some things in our ways, in our life. And if you're really born again, what you hear about God and what you hear about Christ, it will make a difference. It will change you. And this man was changed because of some of the things that he heard. I think that he heard and probably echoed in his ears the rest of his life was those seven utterances that came from the cross of Calvary. As he was there over against the cross, as he was there at the foot of the cross, he heard every word that Jesus Christ said. He not only heard the accusers, he not only heard those that were mocking and making fun, but he heard the Creator literally speak. And from those words, he was getting a message that was going to make a change and make a difference in his life. We'll look at them real quickly. There's only seven things that Jesus said that's recorded to us. Whether he said more than that, we know not. But these seven things are recorded in the Scripture, and they're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. Not only would they help this man that's a centurion, but it helps us also. And he hears the cries of the Creator, and it tremendously affected his heart and his way. He heard the gracious words of forgiveness. For at the very beginning, the Lord Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine standing there at the cross of this man dying? And I'm sure he had heard many things about Jesus. Jesus wasn't a private figure. He had thousands that had followed him. He had multitudes that had gone with him everywhere he went. As we studied not too long ago in the New Testament, in our Sunday school, we find that everywhere Jesus went, there was a large crowd that gathered because of what he was doing and what he was saying and the accomplishments that were being made. And I'm sure this centurion knew a little bit about Jesus Christ and a little bit about the activities of his life. But yet here, dying on the cross of Calvary, he hears Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I believe that made a difference in his life. That began to change his thinking. He hears that the Lord talks to his Father. And this is the one thing that the Jews hated, because Jesus Christ identified himself as God. And John the Apostle, as he writes his Gospel, very clearly tells us that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He came to this world. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1. And here this Roman centurion hears this man dying. He says, "Father, forgive them. They've crucified me. They've spit upon me. They put a crown of thorns upon my head. They have done all these things. But Father, forgive them." And the reason for that, Father, is they know not. They do not know what they're doing. I believe that'd make a difference. I believe that'd make an impression in anybody's heart and life if they stand there and listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and those gracious words of forgiveness, the words of promise to all of them. He heard Jesus say these words, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, there was a malefactor, there was a criminal that was crucified with the Lord. And one of them said, "Why don't you just get yourself off the cross, save thyself and us?" And yet there was one criminal there that said, "We justly are suffering for what we have done, and he's done nothing amiss." And you know the story of how that one thief on the cross became a believer, and Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I wonder what the centurion thought then. I wonder what went through his mind. I can only suppose, and you can only suppose, because it's not given to us. What would have gone through your mind if you'd been standing there and you had the guards, you had the orders from the government, make sure he dies the way he's supposed to die. And then you hear the conversation of the Lord between he and his father. Father, forgive them. Then you hear the conversation between he and the criminal. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe that would make an indention in our thoughts. I believe that would make an impression in our lives. There's something different about this man. He's not only considering himself at all, but he's considering others. And he forgives those that have put him here. And then he is telling this man he's going to be with him in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a statement that he heard. I believe what he heard made a difference. He also hears the Lord make this statement. While he's hanging there on the cross, he says, "Woman, behold thy son." And he told John, said, "Behold thy mother." So there is the conversation now with his family. There's the conversation with that disciple whom he loved and was in that inner circle. And he said, "John, you take care of my mother." Must have made a difference. He hears the words that were conveyed that he talked now, not to a father, but he hears the loud voice that is given. We did not read it this morning in the accounts that we have read, but the Lord now doesn't, Jesus doesn't now talk and say, "Father," but he says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I can sort of imagine that there may have been a chill go up the back of this centurion. He's heard him talk to his father. He's heard him talk to the criminal. He's heard him speak to his mother. He's heard him speak to John. And now he's speaking to God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, my God, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? And that soldier, that centurion is standing there, and he hears those words, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that God had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so there Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and He is making substitutionary death for the whole world. And He cries out to His Father, and He calls Him God. You can search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and from Revelation to Genesis, and you'll not find any other time that Jesus Christ ever called His Father God. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, God even turned out the light from noon till 3 o'clock in the day that God would not look upon the transaction that was taking place, that the sins of the entire world was being placed upon Him. God cannot look upon unrighteousness. He is righteous. And here Jesus Christ is hanging, suspended up from the earth, and His feet are nailed to the cross. His hands are stretched out and nailed to the cross, and the crown of thorns is upon His head, and the writing behind the cross is, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And this centurion, he hears all these comments. He hears the crowd, and they're not very good comments. But now he's listening and hearing the Creator. He's listening to the one that has even given him breath to live. He's listening to the one that he gave life to as far as physical life upon this earth, that made him have the ability to stand there with that Roman sword probably and the spear that he had, and he guarding the tomb or guarding the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hears Jesus say, "Forgive them." He hears Jesus say, my God. He hears Him say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He heard the words of suffering. For now the time has progressed, and Jesus, by the way, He was a man. He was a human just like you and I. He had the same hurts. He had the same hunger. He was a man. And the hours are going by, and He is making His statements, and now He makes one more statement of only two words. And this centurion hears the words of suffering when He says, "I thirst. I thirst." We know that water is the most important thing that we have for life. You can live a long time without food, but you can't live too long without water. And Jesus cries with a voice, and He says, "I thirst." The suffering one, the suffering for sins that He had never committed. The sins have been placed upon Him, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Praise the Lord, one day He brought us to God. I didn't make my way to God. He brought me to God. He convicted me and He led me and He brought me to a place of belief and of salvation. And now here He is that is on the cross putting our sins upon Himself. And He cries, "I thirst." He didn't say, "Lord, have mercy on me." He didn't say, "I need off of this cross." He didn't say, "Let me down." He just simply said, "I thirst." I believe that would have made an impression upon me, and I believe it made an impression upon the centurion. He also heard the words of accomplishment. Well, what can you get accomplished on the cross? You're dying. Your life is just about over. You've already, mouth is parched, and there's no liquid, there's no fluid, and everything is dry, and you're dying. What can happen? How can you accomplish anything with that taking place? But this centurion heard the words. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." That's a word, that's a statement of accomplishment. I'm glad that when we start something, we can finish something. Now, I have a lot of things that's unfinished. I have a lot of things everywhere. I get so far and then I do something else and I look around, I've got four or five things I've got to finish. But what a great day it is, what a great time it is, whatever it might be, say, "Wow, I'm glad I'm finished with that." Well, there upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus finished something, and thank God He finished my way and your way and the world's way to have life and to have salvation. It is finished. The plan of redemption was that Jesus would die. This didn't happen by accident. That was the plan of God. And it was planned before the very foundation of the world that He would be as a lamb slain. And so now it has come to accomplishment. And here this centurion is standing guard over this man, Jesus. And he hears Him all these different statements that He makes. And now he hears this one, "It is finished." What a great impression. Atonement had been made. Salvation complete. That's why we say salvation is of God. It's already completed. You don't have to do anything to finish the plan of the Lord. You don't have to do something in order to add to the God's way. He said it is finished. And thank God, all we have to do is accept it. Just believe it. The appeasement for God's wrath against sin has now been made. Not all mankind is going to have to die, for Jesus is dying for all mankind. Praise the Lord. The way of salvation has been opened, and Jesus said it is finished. But there's one other thing that this centurion heard. And I'm sure he never heard these words, and I doubt you and I have ever heard these words. The very last thing that the Lord says, and these are words that seal our faith. Here Jesus on the cross, again, He is back in relationship with His Father now. He doesn't say, "My God," He says, "Father." For the transaction of salvation and the transaction of substitutionary death has been made. The sin of mankind has been put upon the Lord, and He said, "It's finished." Now He's back in relationship with His Father. Everything's done, so there's nothing else to be accomplished. And Jesus makes this one last statement. "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And the Bible says He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. The Bible says He dismissed His own spirit. The Roman soldiers didn't kill Him. That man with the spear that pierced His side did not put the finishing touch of death upon our Lord. For the Lord dismissed His own spirit. Now, I don't have that ability, nor do you, nor does anybody else. We cannot just think ourselves gone. And Jesus dismissed His spirit. We cannot sit at our couch or chair or lay in our bed sick and say, "I think I'll just go to heaven." We can't do that. But when Jesus Christ was there upon the cross of Calvary, He's had His conversations with all those around and His Father and then His God. Everything's finished. It's time to go. Praise the Lord. Nothing else had to be done. So therefore the Lord there upon the cross said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." He bowed His head, gave up the ghost. He died. That centurion heard all that. He'd never seen a man die like that man. He had heard the screams and the hollers, and he'd heard the terrible words maybe that came out of men's mouths. He'd never heard anybody say, "Forgive them." He'd never heard them talk about having taken care of this or taken care of this one. He's never heard anybody say, "I'm finished. I give up the ghost." He'd never heard those things, but yet here He is standing guard, and all of a sudden, when that takes place, the temple veil had now been rent, torn in two. That centurion, I don't know if he heard it or not, but I guarantee you heard about it. Well, that veil of the temple now has been torn asunder, and it had opened up the way to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Now man has access to God. We don't have to have a priest. We don't have to have somebody to plead our case. The door is open. And the Scripture says that the Lord tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace and bring our request and be made known unto Him. And so we hear this man, he sees and he hears all of that, and he hears the cries of the Creator, and here this centurion is now. He may have been so confused for a while that he was just exasperated, just totally didn't know what to do. But all of a sudden, after hearing all these things, he says, "Truly, surely, this man, Son of God, certainly he was a righteous man." Well, I believe what he heard made a difference in his life. He had heard the crowds. Oh, he had seen the crowds. He had maybe seen them before the crucifixion, how they came by and they smote the Lord and said, "Tell us who hit you." He maybe had heard them make their mockings and their cruel words against the Lord. He may have seen them spit upon the Lord. He may have seen them place the crown of thorns and put it down upon His head. But he had never seen or heard anything like he heard that day. "Father, forgive them." This centurion, I believe, is now converted. I believe we'll meet him one day in heaven. I believe we'll see him this man was not the same man that he was before those hours began. He had seen the noonday sky turn to pitch dark. And he had heard the cries from the cross. And some of those things that we said, I didn't separate them, but some of those things that were said through the darkness of the sky and the night. From noon to 3 o'clock, God veiled the earth in darkness. And one of those things he heard was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was not that he was forsaken in darkness, but he was forsaken because he was having the sin of the world placed upon him. And now this centurion has heard that. There was one soldier there that day that walked away with a new coat. He gambled for it. He won it. There was another centurion that walked away from there and he had a bloody spear. For he had pierced the side of a man that was already dead out of anger. But it was to fulfill the Scripture. But this centurion, he walks away a new man. One maybe had a new coat. One had a bloody spear. But this man now is a new man. Has a new heart. And he says, truly, certainly, surely, this man was the Son of God. I'm glad this morning that he was changed by the words that he heard. And he went away different. You know what? This morning we have the same words that Jesus Christ spoke there that day on the cross. And I still think those words can change the life of an individual. That's why we are told to be witnesses of the Lord. That's why we're told to tell. That's why we're told to go and tell the whole world about Jesus Christ. And we can testify, we can witness of what He did that day to us and for us. He can also do for them. Praise the Lord, what we hear does make a difference. What the world can hear can make a difference in their life. What some of you all in here maybe this morning can hear, it can make a difference in your life. I'm glad we have the old song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Give the winds a mighty voice that Jesus saves. It's all because of the words and the actions of our Savior that is on the cross dying for you and I. Praise the Lord. What we hear can make a difference. Let's stand together this morning.